Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the philosophy behind the prosecution of domestic violence cases in Marion County? Let's go in depth with Marion County Attorney Ed Bull and Assistant County Attorney Nicole Olson. So, Ed, is domestic abuse a big problem in Marion County?
I think it's a big problem everywhere and across the state, or whether or not it's the country. Interpersonal violence is a significant problem that befalls all of our communities, and Marion County is not immune to that issue.
Not immune, but do we have greater incidences, fewer, what?
I think our statistics bear out that we're about average for a medium-sized community. I think a lot of us think of Marion County as a very small community, but the reality is we're the 22nd largest county in the state of Iowa, and I think our crime rate spells that out.
Well, and Nicole, a lot of your work relates to domestic violence. In fact, all that I know about it is focused on domestic violence. Is that right?
Yes, I handle the domestic abuse docket here. I also handle the sex abuse cases. Any crime that has a victim, a person that has an assault or something like that, I usually handle those cases.
That must be challenging.
It can be at times, yes, definitely. It is a difficult set of crimes to prosecute, but we do our best, and with law enforcement and the community's help, it works really well.
Now, I understand, Ed, that your office has the lowest percentage of domestic violence cases dismissed. Is that right?
In the state of Iowa, over the last 10 years, Marion County has the lowest dismissal rate in the state.
Okay, so that means that domestic assault charges are prosecuted more than anywhere else in the state. Is that the right reading of it?
I don't think there is any other reading that you can have. We have the lowest dismissal rate. We prosecute the cases. We look for a multidisciplinary approach to those type of cases. I think it's clear that when I was looking for a domestic abuse prosecutor, when Nicole Olson's resume came across my desk many years ago, it was apparent she was the right person for the job. She had incredible background, both in her academic grades at law school, but more importantly, she's dedicated her entire life of working with individuals who are victims of crime. Both through law school and undergrad, she served as an advocate for victims of domestic and sexual violence. So that was a good fit. In addition to that, we have a dedicated crime witness coordinator, someone who is there to be able to answer victims' questions. So we go out of our way to surround victims of crimes with the resources they need to be successful.
Other counties dismiss a majority of these kinds of cases. What accounts for the discrepancy?
You know, Bob, all I can tell you is what we do. When we saw the numbers that came out, and some of our colleagues across the state are dismissing 70, 80, 85% of their domestic abuse cases. That was something that took Nikki and myself back. We were surprised by those numbers, but we looked at what is it that we're doing in Marion County that may be different than what other counties are doing. And the first is the relationship that our office has with law enforcement. We are constantly talking with law enforcement about the techniques that can be used to bring resolution to these cases. And one of the things that we've really emphasized in our trainings with law enforcement is the difference between a witness-centered case and an evidence-based prosecution. And so in a nutshell, what that means is if a 911 call comes in for domestic violence, we want our law enforcement officers to go out, not just take the report of the victim, but we want them to also interview anyone else who may know about what occurred. Why is it that the neighbor called 911? What did she or he hear? What conversations may have they had with a victim in the past about what was going on? Do they know the nature of that relationship? One of the things prosecutors have to be able to prove is that there was a domestic relationship. So when law enforcement goes in, we ask them to photograph, not just necessarily broken items that may have been established that some type of disturbance took place, but also, is there a wedding photo on the wall? Those type of things can aid us in our prosecution. Also photograph, if the victim allows us, photograph the injuries of the victim. Those type of things that when we're looking at a case weeks, if not months later, trying to get it ready for trial, that we know that we have not just potentially a victim who could testify on behalf of the state, but we also have a multitude of other evidence that can be used if a victim chooses, for whatever reason, not to choose to participate in the prosecution.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Marion County Attorney Ed Bull and Assistant County Attorney Nicole Olson about the philosophy behind the prosecution of domestic violence cases in Marion County. So, Nicole, why do victims sometimes choose not to assist in the prosecution?
There's a multitude of different reasons, I think, that occur, and each case is subjective and different. But it can range from everything from they've been threatened or they feel threatened or their safety's at risk if they participate, to financial hardships, hardships with their children or their households, and pressure coming in from not only the perpetrator or the offender, but others potentially in that person's family, friends, and society at a whole. I think, there's a pressure all around, sometimes even from the community. It's a difficult position to be in, and they have to assess their situation when this occurs. They obviously didn't choose to be a victim. They did not choose to be in this situation, and they have to do what's best for them and their family.
So sometimes they're just on their own.
Yes.
They've got everybody against them, maybe. Is that right? As unfair as that sounds, is that right?
Yes, I think sometimes that is definitely the case. And I think that, our office tries to do the best job that it can to assist them so they don't feel like that they are on their own. Whether it's getting them information and resources or just listening or talking to them. But ultimately, they have to make that decision.
Ed earlier was talking about potential of a witness-based case versus an evidence-based case. So if you have an evidence-based case, then the pressure can come off of the victim.
That's
correct.
I never force a victim to testify or be a part of the case. I don't want to make their situation worse than it may already be. And they have the best knowledge as to their safety level and whether it's okay for them to participate. So what I try to do and what law enforcement has done a great job of is building a case without the victim necessarily having to participate, whether it be gathering witness statements of other individuals, to photographing, as Ed stated, gathering 911 calls and using those tools versus, solely depending on the victim to have to participate. And if they don't, then that the case would fall apart. We try to build with other pieces of evidence in order to still hold the offender accountable for their actions.
Well, that's just part of a crime. You commit a crime, there are consequences for those all around you, and it's not just in domestic abuse situations where there's victims everywhere.
I mean, there's definitely collateral consequences to what these offenders do. And, unfortunately, it's not fair for victims. It's not fair for anybody. When someone commits a crime, it affects a lot of different people, and it can affect a lot of different aspects of that person's life. And we understand that, and that's why we try to build our cases to best, hold them accountable for their actions and not put pressure on others to participate.
Well, one of the things I always keep in mind, and Nicole reminded me of it today when we were discussing domestic prosecutions at our weekly meeting, and that is when there's a homicide, you don't ever have a victim who's going to come in and testify. Yet dismissal rates on homicide cases in the state of Iowa are very low. The reality is we try to build our cases based on evidence. On those type of cases, we take the same approach on domestic violence cases, that we have the benefit in some cases of having a victim come in and testify, but we also are mindful that we do not prepare our case with the expectation they're going to testify. And so from the very beginning, we are building our case on an evidence-based prosecution. And if a victim chooses to participate, then we go forward with that evidence and present that to a jury if appropriate.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Marion County Attorney Ed Bull and Assistant County Attorney Nicole Olson about the philosophy behind the prosecution of domestic violence cases in Marion County.
Do you ever just think this prosecution would be so hard on the victim, let's say that the perpetrator is the sole support for the family and that them going to jail would be an economic, great economic hardship for the family. Do you ever think, well, maybe I better not move forward with this?
Sure. I mean, we definitely take those situations into account. But at the end of the day, it's also my responsibility to hold the offender accountable for their actions. And that's where we try to balance how we resolve the cases with not making the situation worse as well, but still holding the person accountable, whether it be them going to classes or being placed on probation. There are other consequences that can be instated besides sending someone to prison or to jail. But definitely you have to take the whole situation into consideration when you are prosecuting every single case. And they're all different. Every single time you get a new case in front of you, there are different aspects in each situation.
Now, if I remember correctly, in the last legislative session, services for victims were slashed seriously. Has that had an impact? Well, it won't have an impact yet, but it will have an impact in the future. Are there enough victims services out there?
I definitely agree. I do believe that it will have a negative impact on the ability for victims to kind of get on their feet. And that's one of the hardest struggles that we have. And we try very diligently to make sure that they have the resources and the tools that they need to hopefully help them be able to support themselves and get into a better situation. But that's not always possible. And by slashing that funding, it becomes very difficult for all involved to get them the resources and the opportunities that we need to. I hope that that will change, or that we will be able to get new funding for those different resources. But we do work as hard as we can to get them everything that we can here in Marion County.
And you were a victims advocate before, so you know it from that side what the victims need.
Correct. I was a victim advocate when I was at the University of Iowa. I did serve with their domestic violence shelter down there, and so I do have some background in handling those situations, and I do think that it is helpful in my ability to prosecute these cases and understand the situations that these victims are in.
Now, Ed, I've heard rumors that it's difficult to get a domestic abuse felony charge through a jury in Marion County.
Well, I don't know that it's unique to Marion County. I think domestic abuse cases are difficult to prosecute across the board, especially when taking it to a jury. When you listen to seasoned professional domestic prosecutors who have been doing this 25 years and they talk about, you know, losing 10 or 12 cases in a row and how difficult it is to get yourself up to try that next case, there still is I think some opinion floating around that domestic abuse is not that big of a deal, that these are issues that are family issues, they should be handled as a family, and that sometimes it is difficult. I mean, even here in Marion County, we've had situations where, for example, the defense doesn't dispute that it's a domestic relationship, but the jury returns a verdict only finding the defendant guilty of assault, not domestic assault. There are situations, one of the most difficult cases to prove are our strangulation cases, our D-felony domestics, and understanding that a person may be strangled, but that may not necessarily leave a mark. But a person has been strangled to the point of unconsciousness. And so they're very difficult cases. They're difficult cases even when you have a victim participating in the prosecution, having necessarily a jury who's doing the best job they possibly can return a verdict that the state thinks is appropriate. I don't think it's unique to Marion County. We have great jurors here, but it is a difficult case to prove.
Nobody enters into a relationship thinking they're going to get beat up or strangled or assaulted or whatever. So surely there's some kind of clue early on that this person just might have the potential for that kind of violence. Are there any warning signs?
I mean, yes, I believe there's warning signs. I don't think that you can look at a person or even be with a person for a short period of time and realize something like that. But there are definitely warning signs and things that lead up to physical violence. A lot of the times when a victim is in these relationships, physical violence doesn't occur for a very long time within the relationship. It starts out by controlling little things, having little spats, little pieces of information that, the offender is gathering. And over time, they use those against the victim. It always generally starts out very slowly, because if it didn't, they wouldn't stay in the relationship most of the time. By the time that the physical violence and those actions occur, they usually are well into the relationship, and there are much deeper feelings, probably more ties to the offender, which makes it much more difficult to leave, and it makes it much more difficult to get yourself out of the situation. That's generally how these types of relationships occur, and that's what makes them so difficult to deal with from the victim side, from the prosecution side, and from the offender side. There's feelings involved, and that becomes hard to get over.
Well, how about any indications of maybe we're going someplace that could turn out violent, and maybe I need to start thinking and talking about this now before it actually happens? Do those cues come?
Definitely. I think some of the warning signs that you can see is controlling behavior begins usually early on, where it's controlling, everything from what the person wears to who they speak to, where they can go and what they can do. And so that's definitely a warning sign that there is potential for violence later on. A lot of the times offenders will cut their resources off, whether it be resources from money, where they control all of the aspects of the financials of their home. And a victim may not have access to anything other than what the offender gives that person. They cut them off from family members, from friends, and isolate them, because it's easier to control a person who's isolated than one who has opinions of other individuals and who has resources or help with other individuals. So those are some of the warning signs that you will see in these relationships that occur. And so those are a couple that I can think of right off the top of my head when they start controlling all aspects of the person's life. They cut their self-esteem down. A lot of the times when I deal with victims, you see these people and they will tell you, I can't do any better. I can't be any better. They've told me I can't. And so they start to believe that. When they hear it all the time, they start to believe that, and it becomes very difficult for them to imagine being on their own again or being with someone else and out of that situation, because they think that's all that they are worth and deserve.
And if somebody sees themselves in any of these situations, where do you suggest they go for help?
Well, there's definitely resources within Marion County. Crisis Intervention is a great resource that we use. They have counselors 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that they can call in on their hotline. And there's also the Domestic Violence Shelter. Both of these run out of different different cities outside of Marion County, but they have resources within. We have our own personal advocates that come to the courthouse that can help. But also law enforcement is another field where if someone believes that someone else is in a violent situation and they need help, they are also a resource to go to as well.
Thanks to Ed Bull and Nicole Olson for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.